Hi guys, it's Kara, host of Everyone's Business But Mine. And let's be real, one thing that makes the show possible is by selling sponsorships to advertisers. One way you can support us in getting more sponsors is by telling us a little bit more about yourself. You can do that by filling out a quick survey at the link in the show description. Plus, your answers are anonymous. They'll help us learn what you love most about the show and how to make it even better. The questions will ask you about the things that help advertisers understand the audience. It'll only take a few minutes, and it's an easy way to help the show. So you can find the link in the show description. Thank you so much, and stay tuned for the rest of the show.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Wow!
Oh, I told him that's what he had to do over the phone.
He
was already there. He just had to finish.
Well, sometimes when you have performance anxiety, you can't finish, so you know.
Welcome back to another episode of Everyone's Business But Mine with me, Kara Berry, our pop culture roundup and Summer House Martha's Vineyard recap for the week. We have a lot to talk about. I don't know if we have a lot to talk about. We have big things to talk about. I don't know if that's even true. We got things to talk about. That is a fact. That I can guarantee. There are things to talk about. Let's just get a couple things out of the way. Congratulations are in order for Monica, formerly of Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. May she rest. I mean, she's not dead, but, you know, her tenure on Salt Lake certainly is for now. And Lala Kent, Monica went on the Vile Files to announce that she is pregnant with a mystery man, 10 years her junior. And then we got a double doozy of watching her take a video of herself in a hotel bathroom, pissing in one of those plastic cups that have the plastic covering on it, and then dipping like 5 or 6 pregnancy tests in that to confirm that she is in fact pregnant. So congratulations. And then also Lala went on an Amazon Live to reveal that she's going to be having a baby girl. So congratulations. Is this what Lala meant when she said last episode that she, because Ocean was made in love and that process wasn't going to be happening because she's doing a, you know, she has a sperm donor, that she wanted to like have a big thing where everybody's together and like celebrate it that way? Is that what she meant? This Amazon Live gender reveal? Okay. Congratulations. Congratulations. So, moving on to our headline of the week was a truly shocking one, all things considered. This goes out to People Magazine. Another exclusive. OJ Simpson had a, quote, very strong ego, and it, quote, clouded a lot of his reactions, says attorney. Exclusive. You think? That is certainly the most lawyer way to put it I've ever heard in my life. My God, Robert Blaser. Robert Blaser was an attorney during the civil suits era of O.J. Simpson's life, if you want to go to the Wikipedia. So this is after the murder trial, after he was acquitted. The Goldman family, Ron Goldman, who was also murdered along with Nicole Brown Simpson, family, sued for money. O.J. Simpson died, by the way. I guess I should have mentioned that. Bye. So he also owed like over $100 million at the time of his passing to the Goldman family because they won their civil suits. But anyway, Robert Blaser was the attorney. He and his wife were living with OJ during the time of the civil suit trial. Why, I'm not sure, but whatever. He said, I lived down there with him and I got to know him very well. It was a wonderful experience for me, and getting to know him was very special for me. Imagine saying that after this man got acquitted of murder. You know? And then he says, you know, like I said, my client had a very strong ego, as you can probably understand, adding that it kind of clouded a lot of his reactions. And then he goes on to say that, you know, that thing that we all feel where we doubt ourselves and there could be, you know, 100 compliments, but if you get 3, you know, disses, then like you focus on that. He apparently had the opposite. He said there could be 3 people out of 100 who were saying things positive about him, and he would only remember the 3 that were positive and couldn't care less about the others and what they thought about him. And he also went on to say that OJ basically had like no understanding of the fact that like maybe he should keep fucking cool and lay low a little bit after getting acquitted of murder because, haven't you won enough already in this game of life? But he didn't, and that he would just like go to where people were clapping for him, wherever the fuck that was. So here's how I knew that OJ was gonna die, because people seem very surprised and I wasn't. I don't know how this came across my timeline, but every now and again I used to get spooked by an OJ Twitter video. He had a lot of comments and a lot of things to say during the murder trial, which is real interesting, haunting, and about as ironic as you could expect any of his comments about that situation. Like, he's like, gee, I don't know why people keep asking me about this. Like, and he was like, for real, like he was like, I have no concept as why people are asking me, but if you want to know, here's my video. Like, you don't know why people might be curious to know what insight that you might have on the situation, Orenthal. Anyway, back to why I knew he was gonna die. So on February 9th, this came across my timeline, and he was like in a car in the driver's seat and was like, what? People are saying that I'm going to hospice. What are you guys talking about? I'm not even in the hospital. And it's like, yeah, sure, you're not in the hospital right now. But he's like, his breathing is labored in this video. He's like, what do you mean hospice? Like, I'm not even in the hospital. Like, you're probably in the parking lot. You probably escaped. And they were like, hey, whoever came to visit me, record me in the front seat of your rental car real quick and before they find me again. Anyway, so he was like, no, I'm definitely not in hospice. I'm going to be hosting a bunch of people for the Super Bowl. So, you know, like, take care. Toodaloo. I'm great. Definitely not sick. Definitely never been sick. So I'm like, okay, that man's about to die. And lo and behold, how is it possible, given what I just told you, that the girl of the week does not even belong to OJ Simpson? And that the girl of the week actually belongs to, are you ready for this? O-Town's Ashley Parker Angel. Yeah, the one with the blonde spikes. The cute one. Why, speaking of haunting my Twitter timeline, did I see a picture of Ashley Parker fucking Angel in nothing but a pair of white Calvin Klein boxer briefs, looking out a window like that picture of Dorit from a couple seasons ago? You know that photo shoot she did that Kyle got pissed off about because she was late? That one. Looking out the window with his titties out with the following caption. looking for the real killer now that OJ's dead, dot, dot, dot. Just kidding, the real killer's dead, dot, 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 right? What were you up to during the OJ Simpson trial? Hashtag, I love the 90s. Well, excuse the hell out of me. What are you, where do I begin, Ashley Parker Angel? What in the liquid dreams is going on here? What are you talking about? Like, I don't even know what to say. What did he want? And mind you, like, maybe the saddest thing of all is that tweet that I saw it was, like, over a day old, only had 3 retweets. 3. So, it's, like, really hard to say which layer of hell we're in at this point, but I think we might be in between a couple of them. Oh my god. And by the way, you guys, if you think Tom Sandoval is not going to be doing these same kind of like weird ass thirst trap tweets like 2 years after Vanderpump's over, you're going to be sadly mistaken. I'm just going to warn you guys now. This is going to be hell out there. And like, we're going to end on not a high note. It's definitely just as weird, but like in a different way. Like it's in a way that pleases my soul and my being. I told you guys last week, run, don't walk to Miss Spelling, Tori Spelling's new podcast. It is now, we're now 3 episodes deep. She came out with 2 in the past week. And bangers, bangers, bangers. I'm not even going to talk to you about episode 2. I'll leave you to, you know, indulge in that on your own. But we are going to quickly talk about episode 3. You guys, by the way, have been like reaching out to me and being like, thank you, God, for telling me about this, because what the fuck? And you're right, you guys. We're so blessed to be able to hear all of this. We're so blessed. Like, I was texting Princess about this, and like, she is our Tori Spelling expert. Don't bother her about it. I was using my friend/podcaster privileges to like use this, but I said, girl, this is like an incredible piece of art that we're given. And she responded, you know, like clearly Tori's exaggerating, like she should not be pressing publish on these episodes, to which I said, girl, not only should she be pressing publish, I need the alerts as soon as it hits the RSS feed. Like, what are you talking about? This is incredible. So we're just going to go through episode 3. Episode 3 starts with her recording herself with her friends outside of a storage unit, okay? But then she goes on to explain to us, like, we're recording live from these storage units, that they have now gone into default. She, I guess, didn't know about bill paying, didn't enter a bank until she was in her 40s, she says. So these went into default. Her friends had a girlfriend that came to the rescue and was like, I'll, excuse me, take 2 of them out of default. So that was like $900 and something, like just under $1,000, right? So she's recording with her friend, with another friend, and they're going to like unlock these 2 storage units to see what's in it. Cause she's saying like, you know, I've got all my dad's memorabilia, all this great stuff. Like I want to get it out, blah, blah, blah. So first of all, like how does this shit happen to her? She says they're recording. A guy comes, like the locksmith comes to unlock the door, and then like something gets weird and all of a sudden the recording cuts off. She comes back to tell us that the guy just left. Like he told her, oh, I don't have the right equipment to unlock it. And she's thinking, isn't this like a universal lock situation? And then she gets a call or something. They figure out somehow or some way that the guy who was supposed to, the locksmith just left because he got performance anxiety because there were too many people there. To which Tori was like, it's just me and 2 other people. Like, we're just going to empty out the storage unit. We're just going to look through it. Like, I don't know what the issue is, but probably they had cameras. You had a professional microphone situation. Like, she has no perspective on herself, and like, thank God for it. So somebody comes to like finally unlock it and she gets pissed. Like we hear her actually getting pissed because she's looking through it and it's actually just like Dean's shit, not any of hers, not any of her dad's stuff. So she gets mad as though it's like somebody else's fault that this happened. Like, fuck me, fuck my life. Of course this is happening to me, blah, blah, blah. I don't even know where the hell she went. This somehow goes into a story about her being a fashionista and there being some event that she had to go to that she didn't have the clothes for. And she was with her daughter and like a bunch of people. Like, I think Tori Spelling's like always with 8 people, you know, like just a bunch of people for no reason, just for moral support, you know, like she's got emotional support humans. And I'm just wondering, like, what are you guys doing with your day? How are y'all making money? Because she's not. So that's shade. Anyway, the point is she tells a story about how she needed, like, clothes for something. It somehow involves Rachel Levis trying to offer her something off out of the back of her trunk, some pantsuit she had. And also her daughter being like, there's always a story about her oldest daughter, Stella. Always. The poor girl. The poor girl. Every episode, it's like, this is an example of, like, my daughter trying to talk me out of something and, like, humiliating her at school once again. Isn't she crazy? I'm not listening to her. Anyway, so this one, she was like, oh, I needed these clothes. And Stella said, you can have whatever. Presumably, Stella meant, like, anything in my closet. And what Tori did was take the crop top right off of her daughter's back, so that she could hit the red carpet for whatever event that she needed to go to. And then she goes into being a hoarder and like her Beanie Baby collection, and which begs the question of how old were you when Beanie Babies started popping? I did Google this. She was born in 73. The Beanie Baby craze began around 95, which is about when I remember it. I was 9. Tori, you were 22. Anyway, she then goes into a quote from Gwyneth Paltrow from a movie, something that her son was named after. I can't explain it to you any better than she does. Like, you're saying, like, Kara, this doesn't make any sense. I know. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Listen to this podcast. It's the best thing. The highlight of my week. With that, you guys, let's move into our recap of Martha's Vineyard.
There's candy, there's food on the floor. It feels like Coachella when everyone's left. Sit where you like, and it's going to be buffet style.
Oh, chaos. Chaos in Martha's Vineyard. Tensions are high from the beginning, and they don't get any lower throughout the episode. In fact, they may even get even higher throughout the tenure. It's a lot going on, y'all. We're starting off Summer and Jordan and poor Preston's trapped in the back of that Suburban. They're crying, going back and forth with each other. Summer's walking in the house crying, asking Jasmine, like, can I just sleep with you tonight? Like, I can't do this. Jasmine's pissing me off. She's speaking to me disrespectfully. Like, I just need a moment. I need a moment. Jasmine's scrambling. She's trying to fix everything. She's trying to get all Summer's toiletries and her overnight things so that they can spend the night with each other. Like, it's a lot. Unbeknownst to everybody else, Noelle is in her bedroom crying softly to herself with her 2 full beds. And she's saying, like, I'm so embarrassed of myself for, you know, trying to shoot her shot with Alex, and he shot her shot down. Like, it was a whole mess. And then, honestly, Nick and Shanice are just chilling in the living room, having chips and, like, doing a little chip and dip combination. Like, is the sour cream and cheddar go with this dip? How about the barbecue? This one hits. I like this one. You know, they're just having their best time, right? Preston, still trapped in the Suburban, is trying to mediate between Jordan and Summer. And trying to explain to Jordan that, you know, earlier Summer did express that she's not allowed to have the same emotions that, you know, you feel, that she feels like you're allowed to have with the group. Back in Noelle's room, she's about to call her mom. And so Shanice and Nick are like, okay, well, maybe we should go check on them, right? I mean, this chip is really good, but maybe let's go, right? Alex saying in a confessional, this is all chaotic as fuck. Like, I don't even see how men have multiple wives. Okay, well, you don't even see how one man has a situationship. So this is not the groundbreaking moment for you, I don't think. Just another excuse. Amir is trying to cool Summer down, just like, ooh, take a breath. Nick's getting her some water. I love the idea that we give people water to get them to calm down. Does that work? I don't think I've ever attempted it. Maybe after a good cry, but not after anger. I don't think that helps, but whatever. So Preston and Jordan walk into the house finally. Summer's yelling about how, you know, Jordan was crying earlier before they left. She was holding her in the bathroom, and Jordan's taking advantage of her kindness, basically, and is pissing her off because she's got to be all this understanding all the time, but she's like tired because Jordan doesn't have to do that. Jasmine starts talking about how, you know, people are allowed to make mistakes and, you know, be understanding. And then we just hear, and look over at Shanice, and she's like, uh-oh, ruh-roh. And Amir, who we cannot see, he's in the room, but all we can see is, like, the corner of him. He goes, you have to be kidding me. You've got to be joking. You're lying. You're lying to me right now. And they're like, does she fart? She looks so proud of herself. I love Shanice. Back downstairs, Jordan's now crying. And she's saying that she's got these moments that are being used against her. How earlier she was dealing with the situation with her wig, crying in the bathroom, right? And her hair loss, and how she, Summer, basically exposed that to everybody in the house. And they're like, you know, I get that. I get that. I felt that sort of vibe from Summer as well. So now Shanice is leaving. And it's like Preston, Nick, Jordan, and she's like, I don't have any hair. Like, she's bawling. I don't know how much more open I can be about that. And in a confessional, Jordan says that Summer shouldn't have said anything as personal as her story with losing her hair to anybody, especially somebody who she was not in a good place with, aka Jasmine. So Nick tells Jordan to just have a conversation with Summer because, like, y'all know each other, right? And Jordan says, do we? I thought we did. So the next morning, some of the cast goes to church. It's like Alex, Shanice. Shanice borrows some clothes from Bria. Alex tells us in a confessional that he comes from 4 generations of Pentecostal preachers, which, as somebody who comes from a Pentecostal family, I'm like, mm-hmm. Yep, that makes sense. So Shanice had to borrow, like I said, some clothes from Bria, right? And then in the car ride there, she asks everybody, how long is church? And they're like, what do you mean, like, in general or this particular church? Because it's different for every place. And then she goes, as they pull up, uh-oh, this church is going to burn down if I walk in this bitch. And then Shanice says in a confessional, I just got home at 4:00 in the morning, but God says come as you are, so I'm going to come fucked up.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com. Moonpig.com.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
God bless her. God bless her. God bless her mother, Carla, with a K. You know, God bless her bikini. Oh, by the way, I didn't watch the Potomac part three of the Potomac reunion, but on Watch What Happens Live, they had on Jasmine and Summer. And I gotta say, like, something about that girl, Summer. We like her. We like her a lot. But she said that because they obviously asked her about the game in which she said that Shanice was the worst dressed. And she spilled the tea that they all get like these brand deals with clothing lines, and that she was trying to put Shanice onto it and Shanice didn't take advantage of it. So, like, basically, that's kind of on her. Summer also has, like, big Khloe Kardashian energy. Not Khloe, Kourtney Kardashian energy. And I'm still working through it. Anyway, So Preston's at home. Jordan's at home, right? So Jordan's like, okay, let me... Sorry, Summer. Summer's at home. And she says, can I just, like, you know, pick your brain? Let me get your perspective on the whole Jordan situation. And he tells her that the reason why Jordan was upset, because it seems like Summer divulged details about her condition. And she's like, okay, if that's why she's upset, I can totally understand that. But I didn't say all that. I was just saying, like, I was holding her as she was crying. Like, nothing more. And so Preston's like, okay, cool. Well, maybe you need to tell Shanice, because Shanice presented a very different story to Jordan. And Summer's like, well, I just feel like I've been taking care of Jordan and I'm drained, you know? And he's like, okay, well, I think at this point you guys just need to talk to each other. Like, let's stay out of it, shall we? The only person having a good time in this house is, like, Milo. He's just running laps around the kitchen, just getting his cardio in. God bless him. Nicole goes out to the pool with Summer. And they're both talking about Alex and, like, why did I say Nicole when I totally meant Noelle? I heard it. I'm like, wait, what? So Noelle's out of the pool with Summer and they're talking about Alex, right? And Noelle's like, you know, he told me last night we can see where things go. But, you know, when dudes tell me that, I just think you can go to hell. You know, it's over. And then she gets kind of emotional. She's like, it reminds me of my dad. And she starts crying. And in a confessional, Noelle says that her parents got divorced when she was like 8 months old. And this whole time she's been trying to search for why he abandoned her, why he doesn't want to be there. She's written letters. She's reached out to him. She's done all she can, right? No matter what, he doesn't care, right? He's never going to love her the way that she deserves it. And she's like, I just don't get it because I don't deserve this. And so Summer is like holding her and she tells her, you know, I really appreciate how honest you are. And honestly, your honesty, no pun intended, saved you a lot of time. So, like, don't worry about it. Which I actually thought was, like, pretty good advice. Because one thing about me is I don't give men anything, okay? You have to be pretty explicit in your like of me before I'm like, okay, do you want to, like, look at me in the eye now? You know what I mean? So very bold of her to be like, I'm feeling you, okay? And not only that, like, I am recognizing that, like, the feelings that I'm feeling are maybe not fair to you because we haven't made any promises to each other, but should you have a twinkle in your eye for me, just know I'm twinkling back. I could never. That could never be me. So shout out to her. Shout out to you, Noelle. Our bold and brave AKA. I really like her. I think she's a great addition to the show. And honestly, like, they keep, to me, threatening having other people come over to the house and, like, y'all can pop in or whatever, but I don't need anybody laying their head on a pillow. Like, I'm good. Maybe next season, but I'm happy with Noelle. I'm happy with her. Speaking of Noelle, she and Bria are cooking in the kitchen and I'm loving the outfits. So they're just like, we woke up. Bria's in this, like, blue and white long dress. I'm gonna be generous and say she's got a turban on her head. It's, I think, maybe just a poorly fashioned towel. And she's giving Cicely Tyson, like, if Cicely Tyson worked at the Playboy Club and liked to twerk on yachts, you know? I mean that in a compliment, okay? Noelle's in this black satin PJ set, like the short set, matching black bonnet, Angie K visor glasses, like, just giving me everything. It's giving, I definitely am not in the mood to change, but I'm going to give you a look anyway, okay? It's giving, I've been sleeping in this for like 8 hours, but whatever. I'm going to pop a glass on, you're going to live. And I did. So Noelle asks her, like, how are you doing? Just checking in on Bria. And she's like, you know, I've got mixed emotions about Mariah coming. I just don't know why Jasmine couldn't be honest and say that, like, she wants her friends out there with her. Now, here's the thing. Y'all pulled out your receipts from last episode, and she was on a podcast, I guess, before this season saying that she and Mariah were on fine terms and that she would be perfectly cool with her coming back in the house. Like, they were good, no issue whatsoever. So it is, you know, a little bit questionable as to why we're picking up Milo and leaving and having all these big emotions about Mariah's return, especially when your excuse or your reasoning is that she got physical with you, but, like, Summer basically mollywopped your ass and You know, yet here she is. But anyway, after that, the people come back from church and Bria is upset. She tells Alex, I mean, it's not that deep, but, you know, we'll see if this comes up later. She tells Alex, why didn't you invite me to church? And he's like, I invited everybody, technically, but, like, we're definitely going to come back, you know, before we leave. She's like, okay, cool. So Amir then tries to get very philosophical because Preston says that he doesn't really vibe with church and going. And he's like, you know what? I just feel like if you take a piece of every single religion and observe it, it's like, that's what connection is. And they're all just looking at Amir like, okay, girl. He's like, you know, that's the only way you'll understand the full range of everyone is just to observe it. Okay, girl. Okay. So Noelle goes back to her room. She calls her mama, sweet Miss Sabrina, and says, you know how I told you that there was this guy in the house that I was kind of feeling? Like, we went to the club last night. You know, I told him I was interested. And I was like, hey, you know, I heard you're interested in me. And do think it's kind of weird that you're flirting with a girl if that's the case. And her mom's like, you know, I would just be done with him. I don't need to hear any more. Just call it. And then Noelle starts getting like kind of teary eyed. And she's like, I just hate that I revealed my hand because I'm like not a crazy bitch, you know, and it's giving. And so mom gives us a classic black mother phrase. Stop all this crying. Noelle, stop all that crying. Okay. But then she tells her, you know, you're human. Don't let people dictate who you are. And Noelle's like, yes, mother. Yes. And she says in a confessional, I love my mom. Like, we have this great kind of like Gilmore Girls relationship. Like, she'll give me to be straight. She'll let me tell me what I need to hear, but like lovingly. She'll call me in. And she's never going to make me look like a fool. And I love that for her. Shout out to Noelle and Miss Sabrina. After that, everybody goes to Inkwell Beach. Everybody's got their shots. Alex has his kombucha. Jasmine's got whatever it is that she's pretending to drink. You know, everybody's got a red Solo cup. You're safe for another 15 minutes, Jasmine. It does seem like you might be welling up with milk actively, and we can see it, but whatever. More on that later. Jasmine is like, oh, we want to play games. Like, you know, Simon says, Martha says, of course. And then Hood Spelling Bee, which is like how to spell hunted, how to spell boss. Jasmine says she spells boss B-O-Z-Z in the hood way. Man, I've never seen that before. Like, the only people who would spell it like that would be like dudes that you went to high school with that you still follow on Facebook, and they're all posting all fucking day long because they don't do anything, you know? They're always about like rising and grinding, but, you know, they're crashing on people's couches and fighting with their mom, you know, shit like that. Anyway, Summer and Jordan sit down for their one-on-one talk, and Summer tells us in a confessional that she's got enough going on in her life. She's caring for her grandmother. She's trying to figure out who her daddy is, okay? It's a lot. So they sit down, and Jordan's like, you know, I honestly don't really know what the issue was last night, because, especially because we had this emotional moment in the bathroom before we went out. And so Jordan then tells her, whether or not you mention the details of my situation is irrelevant to me, because regardless of what you said, it felt like a violation. And so Jordan tells her, like, listen, I feel like friendship has to be able to provide a safe space. So if any of my information is exposed in any way, it just doesn't feel safe to me. And so Summer tells her, like, I totally get it. Private moments should stay private. Apparently I got a problem with that, you know, cut to Alex, but I don't want you to worry that, like, if you say something to me that it's going to go to other people, and I'm sorry for that. And then Summer tells her, like, I just feel like sometimes, like, my issue for you is that you can be a little bit angry. And Jordan just goes, okay. And Summer says, yeah, so I guess we're just going to go back to your issue with me. Do you feel like you can't trust me? And Jordan says, I feel like my trust is violated. So they hug, they say thank you to each other. Jordan says in a confessional that in this moment she and Summer are fine, but like maybe in the future she'll just keep things in. And I will say that Summer said on Watch What Happens Live that their relationship is the same now as it was during this conversation, which I'm guessing is like not great. Not great. In the kitchen, Shanice and Noelle are playing what I'm just going to call Area 51. I don't know what it is. they were just being like, Area 51, Area 51, Area 51, and shaking their legs and booting up. I'm not really sure. Presa was sitting there in the kitchen looking confused. I'm sitting there in front of my computer looking confused. So I don't know what to tell you. Then after they've been properly beamed up, everybody sits down for dinner. Preston made mac and cheese. Summer makes his baked stuffed chicken. And Amir tells everybody, I made Philly cheesesteaks without the cheese because I forgot. So thank you. Bread and meat. I didn't even see an onion in there. What are we doing? Alex says in a confessional, he feels like the house is having a good time, but he's also noticing that Jordan's like quiet. And he says, listen, I know we're not the best of friends, but I'm picking up on the energy, you know. As a healer. He didn't say that part. I did. Sorry. So next morning, Bree's on the phone with Simon. Like, you need to check these flights. You need to get on this right now. Like, I'm looking at it. He's like, Bree, I just checked. No ticket. I'll stop. He was screaming, like, the tickets are double price. Check it. Check for yourself. Now, he's actually not yelling. I'm being way louder. He's like, check for yourself, Bria. Check. I said I'll stop and I haven't. So she goes, stop yelling. And I would like to clarify that he wasn't yelling like at all. Like he's maybe even I'm talking louder now than he was. Bria says that the whole issue that they're having right now is that she hasn't had any dick. She hasn't had any of that sweet German watch dick in about a month. And really, people need to step it up in the VR game and come up with some way for you to be able to, like, see your partner naked and, you know, have a little good time from whatever long distance you are. Like, that would be genius. And then we find out that today is Bria's world. How that's different from any other day, I'm not sure. I don't think it was her birthday. I think this just is an event with like a popcorn machine and some cotton candy. Anyway, before that, Jasmine FaceTimes with Sergeant Marriage. And she's like, you know, I think people are starting to suspect. And I kind of want to get it out. And Silas is like, I totally get it, right? So then we get a flashback to her showing Silas her bump on FaceTime the day before. Y'all, she is bumping, okay? Yeah, we know. Everybody knows, but okay. You don't want to say it. We'll just wait until you're ready, babe. So she says in a confessional, I wanted to wait out the first trimester before I told everybody, but that's like 2 days from now. So Silas tells her, you know, it's for you to share whenever you want, whatever you want, babe. Like, you know, who's this, Silas? Who's this? Jasmine says to us that this is actually the first time she's ever been to Martha's Vineyard without him. And she's like, I think people don't realize how much support I need for them right now. So Jordan tells this random story about how I had a dream that I was pregnant and I was like running around panicking about it. And Jasmine's looking at her at the table like, oh, damn, that's crazy, girl. What else? And then what happened? Like, wow, can't relate. So everybody's waiting around for Bria. They're in the yard. They're outside. Like, this is Bria's world. Where is she? Some people pull up to the driveway in a minivan. And then Bria walks through the lawn with two alpacas in top hats. Why they were dressed like characters from A Clockwork Orange, I have no idea. But whatever. So Shanice goes, can we ride them? I'm like, no, girl. Do you see how gentle their backs are? Summer says at a confessional, there's cotton candy, there's food on the floor. It feels like Coachella, like, after everybody's left. So everybody sits down for this dinner. Like, you're literally having to sit on the ground. And Jordan's kind of mean mugging, right? Like, yeah, of course. Like, Alex is acting like he's so sensitive. Jordan is pissed, and she's not making eye contact with anybody. Like, it's very clear that she's upset. So people are just making, like, conversation, like, oh, do you guys think that Bria and Simon are good? Bria's not there, right? She's walking up to the table, and they're like, yeah, I think so. So Summer's like, or Shanice, rather, is like, Bria, like, Simon's coming, right? And she's like, I don't want to talk about it. She's like, no, like, he's coming, and then, like, are you guys going to go to New York after? She's like, I don't want to talk about it. They're like, okay. So in a confessional, Bria says, he's just visiting. Like, what the fuck? Do Silas and Jasmine have to report every time they have sex? Do Tasia and Nick have to report to me when they're having sex? No. So I don't have to report when I'm having an argument with Simon right now. I don't know that to anybody. I'm a private person, and if they don't understand that, they can kick rocks. Ma'am, nobody asked you about your pussy. What are you at? Did they cut that from the book? Did anybody ask you, how are you in Simon's sex life? What? No. They asked you if he's coming to visit. And is he staying? That's not... You can't allow... You can't be like, I'm a private person. I don't want to answer that when he's coming on the show. Sorry. I really appreciate this scene. Nick can have a third season contract for this scene alone, where they're in the kitchen. It's Nick and Alex. And Alex is like, I guess there's a pie. And he goes, can we like get into this pie? And Nick is like, you can't have any of that. And Alex goes, why? And he goes, well, eggs, sugar. And then you could just tell the wind is completely out of Alex's sails because, you know, he's not a true, he's a sneaky, a little sneaky vegan. Okay. Crouching vegan, hidden fuck boy. That's what Alex is. And you're like, why did you have to call me out like that? No pie for you, sir. So after this, everybody goes out to dinner and Alex is like, Jordan's been really quiet. He's telling us the whole table, right? He's like, I just want to check in on you. Like, why have you been so quiet? And Jordan goes, what in particular? And so Alex says, well, I just feel like you, like, I just don't remember you being this, like, pulled back. Like, what's going on? I don't remember you being this, like, not present. And so Jasmine says, well, what do you mean by present? Like, do you mean, like, involving yourself in conversations? Like, what do you mean? And so Alex says, well, I just don't hear her voice. Like, normally I would. And they're like, oh, well, Jordan, maybe Alex just misses your voice. And she goes, I doubt that, but go on. So Alex says, well, just usually your presence is really strong and your voice holds a lot of weight and I just haven't been hearing it. And Jordan just shrugs. So Bria asks, like, Jordan, deep down, how are you feeling? And this is where Jordan starts to get a little bit choked up. And she says, you know, I've experienced a lot of loss in my life.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
I'm responsible for a lot of people's lives, like more than 99% of people at 31 that I know. And it's really impacted the way I look at life. Like, there's so many things I want to experience with my father before he leaves. And I'm not saying that he's sick or anything, but it's just like my brain is constantly thinking, like, I don't have enough time to where she can't enjoy and live in the moment, right? So we remember, Jordan tells us in a confessional that her mom passed when she was 17. She was an only child. Her mom is an only child. So she kind of adopted her mom's parents and has been caring for them in some form or fashion. I guess that's what we're supposed to be thinking, right? And so she's like, you know, because of that, I feel like I'm behind. Like, it just feels like Jordan feels like she hasn't been able to be soft. Like, she's always had her guard up, her armor up, because she's trying to protect other people and do these things for other people. And, you know, she says, I probably got into DJing much later than I would have because I just wasn't pursuing things that I enjoy. And I feel like left behind. And I also feel like alone and overwhelmed because of it too. So then Jordan tells everybody, I'm losing my hair, you guys. As a black woman, hair is currency. And also, I'm single, as we know, Jasmine. And I just don't know what's going to happen with me. And so Amir tells her, like, I just don't want you to feel like you can't count on people at the table, especially. And Alex tells her, you know, thank you for sharing that. Preston asks, can I hug you? And they have their moment. And so Alex says, I'm just going to speak for myself. Like, I understand you on a deeper level more in one dinner than I did all of last year. And it's not that I needed this moment to do that, but it's because you were willing to share. And Jordan says, that's actually not true. You didn't understand me because you had my friend fucked up. And I was ready to kick your ass if we're going to keep it gangster. Like, you had me completely fucked up with the Shanice situation. So then Jordan breaks it down and says, you called me toxic the first time you met me. You judge me and you judge Shanice and Googled her. And Shanice is like, yeah, you judge me. You did. So Alex says in a confessional, before I met Shanice last summer, I got news that her ex had accused her of stalking. So it shows a flashback from last season where they're off in this like small room. It's Nick, Alex, Preston, I think, maybe Summer, I'm not sure. But he's telling everybody, y'all, there was this article that came out. It talks about like Shanice having restraining orders or whatever. And Alex says, I didn't really know her, Shanice, like that. So I didn't feel comfortable having a one-on-one conversation with her. But people knew it was going to come out. And I just thought it would be good for her to have her own narrative about it. And this is where I have to pause about Alex. And this is what irks me, is that he like, speaks softly and like very intellectually. And so people don't realize that, like, because he sounds very like well-measured and well-meaning, that if we don't roll back that beautiful bean footage, we won't remember that he was acting totally freaked out by her and scared of Shanice. And he was the one who brought it up in the house behind her back. So for you to be like, well, I didn't know her like that, but I thought she should talk about it. But you talked about it behind her back. You didn't know her well enough to say it to her, but you were fine talking about it to everybody in the house behind her back. And then be like, well, I thought she should have the space to say it, but you didn't give her that space. You were the one who chose to tell everybody. And being like, well, everybody was going to find out anyway. Okay, so why did you say it to half of the house without her? That doesn't make sense. Because if you guys aren't cool enough to have the one-on-one conversation, then you're definitely not cool enough for you to be guiding this and leading this conversation with five other people. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't make sense to me. So Jordan tells Alex, the reason why you don't understand me is different, right? So Alex says, no, like, if we want to talk about the Shanice thing, I didn't Google any of you guys. And the only reason why I knew about that was because of Nick. And that's your boy. And I'm tired of people bringing it up like I Googled people when I didn't Google people. I brought it up because I was trying to protect her and let her know that people were going to Google her. And so Shanice goes, protect me? You traumatized me, Alex. I have the biggest anxiety because every time you Google me now, it comes back up again. And my anxiety is horrible from that. Like, any guy I date is like, what happened with this girl? Like, I'm legit traumatized from it. So Jasmine maybe asks an incorrect question. She goes, who was the first person who brought it up, period? So Nick says, well, Alex brought it up with Bria and Preston, you know, in that side room. And then it was brought up at brunch. She didn't want to talk about it, so we stopped. But to be fair, Jasmine, you were the one who said, no, let's talk about it. And we didn't want to say anything. I didn't want to say anything. I made a face and I was like, cut it. Cut the cameras. Alex said to, but then you were like, no, we need to talk about that. And that's when shit hit the fan. So Shanice is now crying, right? And she tells everybody a bunch of stuff that they did not know. I mean, they knew it was a legal issue because he put a restraining order out on her, but they didn't know that this was, like, taken to trial. She's like, no, I'm the one with a crazy ex-boyfriend. I really didn't do anything. And Bria says, I can vouch for that. She didn't. So Shanice says, he put nudes of me out and made it seem like I'm the crazy one. And then she tells everybody, my case just ended. And she starts crying. And Amir goes, do you want to go around the corner and just, like, take a moment? She goes, no. So then she tells everybody, this dude is trying to sue me. So Shanice says in a confessional that 2 years ago is when he tried to sue her the first time, right? It got dismissed in court because he was like, oh, he's trying to put her on a stalking charge. They dismissed it because they didn't find anything. He didn't win. So now he's going civil and trying to get some money. $20,000 he's trying to get from her. And she's like, this is the first time I brought it up to everybody because I just don't like talking about my feelings. So Alex is like, Shanice, can I hug you? And he gets up and Amira's like, wow, that's intense, you guys. This is really intense. She doesn't like to be hugged. Wow, this is a lot. So Janice says, I've just been holding these emotions in for like all year, right? So it feels good to let it out. I can let the fuck boy give me one hug. Just one. So then Preston takes the floor and he's like, listen, I can recognize a lot of times we're all talking to each other and we're like, hey, encouraging people to say what you need to say in the moment. But we need to also recognize that we're all responsible for why certain people don't share certain things with other people. And I'm including myself in that 100%. I just think it's easy to say you should have shared something, but like we're not taking it a little step further and wondering, am I, you know, making it safe for people to share things with me? So then Bria says, I have something to say. And it was like everybody just deflated. Everybody at the table was like that commercial, the girl who smokes weed once, and she's like a little putty person on the couch, just like, oh God, what now? So at a confessional, Bria says, I respect everybody and I'm loyal, but I feel like my voice is not heard. Babe, that's because you leave every time. But anyway, she tells everybody at the table, I just feel like my mood has shifted a lot. And to be completely honest, I don't feel comfortable having Mariah in the house. And I've been holding that in because I want everybody to have such a positive experience, but I'm not fine with it. And I have to be authentic with myself. Phil, Mariah, this shit is too much. And I'm telling you right now, I don't want it. So Jasmine starts laughing like, you gotta be kidding me. And she goes, if I'm going to be honest, I don't even really know what to say right now. So Jasmine says in a confessional, she found it. She found what to say. I think my friend might see me take things on the chin a lot, but my mother is a brilliant and resilient 2-time convicted felon. Do not try me in this moment. So then Bria's like, you know, I have to be authentic in this moment. And Summer tells Jasmine, just let her speak her piece. And Jasmine's like, I don't even know what to say because I feel bamboozled every other day. Like, I don't know what to feel. What I could feel could be so temporary and different to how I feel tomorrow. And Summer goes, okay, how do you feel in this moment? And she says, nothing. Like, I'm trying to hear you, Bria, but I'm frustrated in this moment. That's it. And Bria goes, of course you are. Like, that's fine. And then Bria talks about having, like, significant others and close friends coming over to the house and, like, people who haven't had altercations with other people are welcome, but Mariah messed with her mental peace. And I don't fuck with that. So at this point, we're just playing hot potato with the cutlery because the Kleenex is gone. Any extraneous napkins are gone. All we have left are the ones that are wrapped up into the forks and knives. Okay? So we're passing it now because Bria's crying. And Jasmine's about to cry too. And so Noelle says, Jasmine, Noelle says to everybody, can we just get some shots? Jordan's like, I'm going to the bathroom. Like, people don't want to be here anymore. So Noelle's like rubbing Jasmine's back, like, woo, 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 calm down. Amir goes to the bar, like, I need 8 green tea shots, ma'am. Jordan gives up. I need another one. I need 9 green tea shots. Do you want to just take them here? They're like, yeah, I think we're just going to hang out here for a second. Just, I don't know, just enjoy some different air, right? Back at the table, Bria's still talking, you know, everybody. Well, technically she is right. Half the table is now left because they don't want to listen to her. You were right about that. So Bria's like talking about how, like, I'm keeping it real on how I feel. I wouldn't put hands on anybody in the house. And if I did, they wouldn't be, like, I wouldn't be invited back. Jasmine brings up a good point of, like, why are you good with Summer then? Because she, you know, pressed up on you last summer. And Bria's like, I suppress my feelings for her. And Jasmine goes, well, okay, I appreciate you trying to do that. So Bria's just like talking about how she's going to get loud when they get back to the house if she can't express herself while they're out, right? And Nick's like, yes, please, can you do that at the house? Preston says in a confessional, you're always turning up, but you're always turning away, not doing anything, but pretending you're hood. Like, some people just need to get a grip on reality. And I'm talking about, like, the girl who put Gorilla Glue on her hair type of grip. He's so annoyed at the table, he can't even look at Bria. He's, like, shaking his head, just like, we're always here. We always have to go here. So then the episode ends with Jasmine being like, it feels like every summer it always gets to this point. Bria tells Jasmine she's hurt, and Jasmine's like, I can recognize that, but I'm frustrated. And then she just starts sobbing. I came into this house not knowing where I stood with anybody in this house except for you, Bria, and Alex. So it's a lot of isolation, and I wasn't good with anybody. So I wasn't, like, hating about asking that. I was just trying to put on my big girl panties, and I need you guys this summer. I don't need any bullshit. I just needed fun and support. I want fun. I'm going through a lot right now. And that leaves us on a to-be-continued, y'all. God, I'm really enjoying this season, and I hope you are, too. And I will say that, like, as much as I loved Watch What Happens Live and Andy, like, gossiping with our girls, he was asking too good of questions. And it's making me nervous that they're not going to get a reunion, because I'm like, we're asking real good questions, and I'm appreciating this rapport here. But, like, let's not spoil before we can get our butts in some chairs. Because if Winterhouse can get a reunion and then be put on pause like 15 minutes later, then we can get one for Summer House Martha's Vineyard. Okay? Thank you. Love you guys. Thank you so much for listening. Thank me for speaking. Bye.